Hi, and welcome to Write Better Now, a podcast of quick weekly writing tips meant to help you become a better writer.
We're your hosts, and I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones and wife extraordinaire.
And I'm here with copy editor extraordinaire Sean Farrar.
Thank you for joining us.
We're talking today about exposition, which is a beast. And I personally usually only don't have a problem with it as a writer until I'm writing middle grade fiction. And then it attacks me with all its teeth out and its claws out. And it's just a nasty, nasty, nasty boy. So this podcast, I'm going to explain exactly what an agent or an editor or a writing coach or beta reader or a teacher means when they look disdainfully down their noses at you and say, "You have too much exposition." Anne Holly writes for the Story Grid. There's a tendency among many writers, myself included, to explain too much, and I've become ruthless about weeding out as much exposition as possible. So, my gut's reaction to the client's question is always none of the above. Just get rid of it. So, we know how she stands, but here's some actual definitions about exposition from literarydevices.net. Exposition is a literary device used to introduce background information about events, settings, characters, or other elements of a work to the audience or readers. The word comes from the Latin language, and its literal meaning is showing forth. Exposition is crucial to any story, for without it, nothing makes sense. And Robert McKee, in his book Story, on page 334, that's my cat, sorry about that, writes, "Exposition means facts, the information about setting, biography, and characterization that the audience needs to know to follow and to comprehend the events of the story." Over on my new Substack newsletter, we're going to share some examples of this, of exposition. So just know that while some exposition is allowed in a story, it's something you want to clear up as much as possible. Including your cat. See, Mark, you want to be in the scenes with the characters as much as you can, and this is especially true in the very beginning and last third of a novel. That's because in the beginning of a novel, the reader needs to be immersed so that they'll keep reading and hooked all along. In the end, that's because the reader has stayed with you for all these words, and now they want to have a big emotional payoff. And that doesn't happen with exposition. That happens when you're immersed in a scene. So, exposition can be just an info drop where the narrator's telling and not showing a bunch of information. It can be when there's too much internal dialogue for way too long. It can be flashbacks. It can be dialogue sometimes. I know, right? Dialogue's action, but sometimes dialogue is an info dump.
I know, right? Like, whoa.
And that's particularly happens when a villain is explaining their motives, or in a science fiction or fantasy, when a character is explaining the world to like a newborn baby in the world. And then exposition can be letters pulled out or emails presented as a big block. You want to have your readers feel that letter or email with the character instead. And then there's long, long paragraphs where a writer will go on forever and ever describing setting and senses, thus off exposition. Holly also has a really great example that I'm going to read. Pretend this is a novel. "Let's go to the mall," Heather said. Imani thought back to the last time she'd been to the mall, the terror she'd felt at the sound of the first shot fired, the screams of people fleeing for their lives, the crash of displays falling over as customers dove under racks and counters for covers. It had been the worst day of her life. "I don't want to go," Imani replied. However, vivid Imani's recollection is in that middle paragraph. It doesn't really reveal her character. It explains some things about her, but it's an info dump, a big block of explanation. And that block interrupts the action. That is, the dialogue between Heather and Imani. That's the reaction, and it interrupts it by referring you, the reader, to a past whose details may or may not be relevant at this point in the story. Here's what happens in your brain. You expend energy time jumping into Imani's past. You process the terror, the shots fired, the screams, the crashes, the people diving under the wrecks. But by the time you get to Amani's response, all your memory slots are engaged and you've lost sight of what Heather even said. So you expend more brain power backtracking in the text to remind yourself of Heather's initial suggestion. While some exposition's allowed in a story, it's something you want to clear up as much as possible. You want to be in the scenes, right? You want to be right there with the characters as much as you can. And this is especially true in the very beginning and the last third of that novel, right? You've got that. You want to keep that reader hooked. And that doesn't happen. You can't have a big emotional payoff when your reader's not immersed in the scene. We'll talk about it more again soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to Write Better Now. These podcasts and more writing tips are on Carrie's website, carriejonesbooks.blog. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or share this podcast.
There's a donation button over there on my blog and lots of other content. And honest to goodness, I sound like such a mama. Honest to goodness, even a dollar inspires us to do a happy dance. So thank you for your support. The music that you hear is made available through the Creative Commons. And
it's a bit of a shortened track from the fantastic Mr. Ruiz. And this track is Arctic Air off the album Winter Haze, Summer Days. Boom. So that person smokes. You got weed themed music on our stuff, honey.
All our podcasts.
Broke for Spleef.
Hey, and if you like this podcast,
Summer Spleef,
you can listen to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, or Carrie Does Poems, or Loving the Strange. Thanks for listening.
The other two are funny. This one's serious.
So serious.